Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Monday, by the blue, purple, yellow, red water. On the green, purple, yellow, red grass. Let us pass through our perfect park. Pausing on a Monday.
I usually change more lyrics than that, but it felt frankly disrespectful. So
yeah, honestly,
just change Sunday
even
to Monday.
Monday was like, oh, hello.
Truly.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Could you hear that I was nervous?
Well, I could tell you were nervous from the 2 minutes of muted microphone you gave me on this Zoom call to practice. So I was like, I'm gonna let him practice.
Hey-o, baby.
So I could tell you were nervous. Well, that was a beautiful job.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
So good.
Just another disclaimer. Once again, my microphone is gone. I'm still in my childhood home. I will be back the day this episode drops. So Mike is back for nationals, but today we're doing a laptop microphone again.
Honestly, I saw some comments on the line that a lot of people just didn't even notice that your microphone wasn't around. So I was like, that's so fun and cool. Good job, MacBook, whatever one you have, Pro.
I don't, truly, I couldn't tell you. It is a MacBook Pro.
Who cares?
I see it right here. It's a MacBook Pro.
It's labeled.
The biggest difference is anytime that I like let out a gust of air, you know, like if I'm laughing and it's a particularly breathy laugh, it messes up the microphone and you just hear like the sound of wind, you know? And so I have to cut.
The sound of wind.
So I have to cut all of it out. So that's like vocally, I agree. It actually sounds pretty similar to my mic, but it can't.
Yeah.
It can't like regulate the sound of me gasping. So that's frustrating.
I also noticed that like when you were showing us around your room the other day, you would like turn away and we wouldn't hear you as well, which I mean, we are human beings with the microphone and sometimes we turn away, which I think you can hear a little bit, but not as severe as you can with your MacBook Pro. Yeah.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I'm a proud owner of a MacBook Pro. And I'm a Gleek.
Hey, what's up you guys? I am also the proud owner of a MacBook Pro. I specifically got it to do this damn podcast. So school be damned. All throughout school I had an iPad. I used an iPad to do my essays. So I just got a laptop to do not school.
But also, like, at school, podcast. There was, like, a library that was a open library, until 1 a.m. Yeah. every day.
I was never writing things on my own thing. I was always somewhere.
And the library was the best because at our school, at least, every space had two monitors. So on yeah. one monitor, you could be doing homework, and then on the other monitor, you'd have Netflix playing. And it was,
I know, I love that.
One, not very productive of us, but two, made doing homework a lot more fun. So yeah. I always would go to the library.
I never went to the library, actually. There is another, like, computer lab on campus that I preferred just because it always was less busy. Mm-hmm. And it was just a bit quieter, but everyone was like, ugh, why would I ever go to the ELC, the Electronic Learning Center? But I was like, nah, player, I found a gem in there. It is quiet. Oh, man. I miss that part of school. Like, something about the communal, mm-hmm. like, sitting around doing work is very fun to me. Maybe I should just get an office job, well, but I just liked that.
Also the fun of, like, and this is also, like, a bad part of school, if you, like, ran into people you didn't like. But just the joy of, like,
yeah.
seeing your friends all the time and just, like, stumbling into them, that was mm-hmm. always nice. You'd, like, go yeah. into one of the computer labs and you would see someone you liked and you'd just pop in and be like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And then you'd go sit at your place and do your work. Great. Mm-hmm. Good times.
I know. That was so nice. And, like, I like that so much. Like, running to people on campus is totally not like running into people in real life, because it's like, if we ran into each other all the time on campus, but we didn't, like, sit and chat for 20 mm-hmm. minutes. We were just like, hi, what's up? Goodbye. Because we had stuff going yeah. on. And, like, you know, it was just like our stomping grounds. And I just liked that.
Wouldn't you know it? There are good things about school.
Honestly, they're few and far between, true. But the things I liked, I really did like. Oh my gosh. Well, stay in school, kids. Jeez. Are you ready to get into this mini-sode?
Heck yeah, props, baby.
Well, heck yeah. Let's start. Let's get into it. Yeah. Up first, we have a message from Aria.
Hi, Lena and Ian. It's Aria, she, her, hers, resident Britney apologist. And I was catching up on the podcast at work, but my AirPods died. So instead of letting everyone in the office know I'm listening to a Glee podcast, I figured I'd go ahead and just send you my thoughts on props, even though it's kind of early. This was sent last week, everyone. I have had beef with this episode since I first saw it. Not really the plot, just Tina's dream and the half-assedness of it all. As a person who loves a good body swap plot and the weirdly vivid dreams of TV characters, hence why I'm still defending Britney, Tina's concussion fantasy is just wasted potential. Especially since, as you guys pointed out, it seems like the costume department really cares about the show and these characters. Just thinking about this portion of the episode fills me with a very specific to Glee rage. I would have loved to see all the characters get really into it and imitate each other, especially since a lot of these characters are neglected by the writers anyway. Here's a short list of my grievances. Sam/Rory. Boring. I couldn't even tell who Rory was supposed to be at first. When was the last time Sam wore his Letterman jacket? Couldn't tell you, because where has Sam himself been? It would have been fun if they had Rory do an impression or had Sam talk in an Irish accent. Britney/Mercedes. Mercedes just looks like herself in season 1 when she joined the Cheerios. They couldn't give her a blonde wig at least. They give Britney one, and it's gotta be the worst wig I've ever seen. Ari/Santana. Kevin McHale said on Showmance that he wanted to wear the girl cheerio outfit and they told him no. Weird, because they let Sam wear one later, but it would have been so much funnier if he was in a skirt. And finally, Tina/Rachel. I'm convinced that outfit is not Rachel's. We haven't seen her in anything besides a dress and heels for almost the whole season. Come on now, whose sweater is that? Also, Tina isn't goth anymore? They literally address that at the top of the episode. Why would Tina be imagining herself in clothes that no longer match her aesthetic? And while I love goth Rachel, it should have been blonde go-go Rachel. That was so long, I apologize. Me and this episode just have a long history, and none of my friends watch Glee, so I've been silently angry about this for literal years, and I'm dumping it on you guys. I just love the podcast and you guys so much, and wanted to know if y'all agreed with me or not. If not, feel free to drag me to bits. Sorry if you end up saying any of this on your episode, I just couldn't wait. Also, I just wanted to add, Ian, did you listen to Lena and watch Freaky? If so, did you like it? Just thought I'd ask because it's a body swap movie. Anyway, I love you guys and wish y'all nothing but the best, and hope your voices are healing. Consensual forehead kisses to you both, Aria. Aria, I did watch Freaky, a Thanksgiving classic.
You did?
I did. My sister and I watched it a few weeks ago. It's very fun.
It's fun, huh?
Body swap movies are the best. And I especially mm-hmm. love when they don't get too hung up on the logistics of how they swapped and how to swap back.
Yeah.
That they're like, we know you don't care about, like, the witch that put a curse on this item that made them swap.
Yeah.
You just want to see Vince Vaughn pretend to be a teenage girl. So they're like, I don't know, it's some cursed knife. Moving on. And the rest of the movie is such a good time. I had a blast. I loved it.
Good. I didn't know you watched it. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was a great
time.
Isn't
it fun? It
is very fun. It is very fun.
My favorite part was when Vince Vaughn kissed that teenager.
The actor wasn't a teenager, everyone. Let's all calm down. And Vince Vaughn's character was spiritually also a teenager in that moment. My favorite moment...
It did make me go...
My favorite moment is every time that Vince Vaughn runs.
I know. It's so
it
good.
It is fantastic. Oh, that is such a good movie.
Oh, my gosh. My biggest qualm with that movie is that my least favorite trope of all time is the, like, weird girl gets cool trope. Because they always cast, like that girl who is in the movie, and they're like, she is so weird. And I'm like, can you, like, shut the fuck up. No, she is not. You guys are obsessed with her. Shut up. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, Aaron and I were talking about that we were like, I think the movie that did this the best was The Princess Diaries. They do a great job of making Anne Hathaway look like someone who isn't ugly, but is someone that, like, would get looked over, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But this movie, they take Catherine Newton and they're like, I don't know, her hair is, like, kind of curly. And you're like, she's...
And it's like, her hair is curly regularly. Like, she curls her hair. Like, she's wearing a flannel. It's like, stop.
There is an easy way to make, like, an objectively attractive person look awkward and nerdy as a teenager. And it's to put makeup on them that looks like acne. Like, that's just, like, a universal thing.
Cast someone with acne.
True. It's so dumb.
Like, cast a normal person if you want to tell this story.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I liked about it is that, like, obviously her, like, murder attitude changed and everyone, like, started looking at her differently. Her murderer attitude, you know? And, like, that was cool, but it's also, like, just cast someone who's not objectively, like,
Catherine
an Instagram
Newton.
Model. I know. I was like, I don't buy this anymore. And that's the thing is, I hate being lied to. That was my biggest qualm with that movie. And I'm just over that trope. I think it's dumb. All women are beautiful, so shut up.
One thing I liked about it was, even when she is supposed to be, like, awkward and weird, her friends do keep saying to her, they're like, they say word for word, you're a piece. That they're like, you're actually super hot. You're just so self-conscious you don't realize it. And then after she sees the murderer be in her body and the murderer has all this confidence, she's like, oh, I am super hot. I should, like, accept that about myself.
No, totally. And like, I get that. And I like that attitude shift more. But I feel like not enough movies that are about that are ever about that.
Yeah.
You know, like the attitude shift. It's like, oh, she's wearing red lipstick now. She took off her glasses, you know? And I'm like,
she
let
down
God.
Her hair.
She took out her pony. She's beautiful now. I'm over it. But I did really like that movie. I'm glad you watched it.
Onto this list. Arya, I agree with everything you said, except hot take Tina Rachel. Personally, for me, I do understand that Rachel does not dress like this anymore and that Tina does not dress like this anymore. But it makes sense to me that in Tina's, like, stress dream, she would revert back to her season one self when she was the most self-conscious and would see Rachel as her season one self when she essentially was, like, I would imagine the most threatened by Rachel. Because, like, now we've seen Tina get more confident and that's kind of, like, she's changed her style as she's gotten more confident. And I can see her be, like, she is viewing herself as a time in her life when she was so afraid to talk to people, she faked a speech impediment. And then, like, she just always views Rachel as that loud girl from season one who was getting everything.
Right. I like that, too. I at least like it in the outfit style. I do think that Lea Michele does a piss-poor job being Tina.
Yes. Yeah.
I do think most of it has to do with Lea Michele probably doesn't know anything about what anyone else on this show is doing, let alone Tina Cohen-Chang. So thanks so much for this message. I really enjoyed reading it, and I'm glad you sent it in. Up next, we have a message from Danae.
Hey, Ian and LPC. I think a big problem with this Rachel plot is that they pretend that she was humbled by flunking her audition, but she wasn't really. Or if she was, we didn't get to see it. She was sad for a bit, but if it taught her anything, it was how to resize her dreams, even though she immediately brought them back to their original size when things started going her way again. It didn't really teach her how to treat others, and so when the show is trying to make Tina look crazy for being tired of Rachel's self-centered behavior, it falls ridiculously flat. In general, I dislike the way that the show is trying to make it seem like Rachel not getting into the school of her dreams at the first try is a disaster. And the irony is that after season 3, the show has a lot of trouble balancing the Ohio-New York sides of the show, so they could have made it a lot easier for themselves by having Rachel go to a local college initially and having her go to New York and Broadway a bit later. But of course, Rachel can never ever fail at anything, even if that would make her a much more interesting character. As for the body swap, I kind of like that it was short. I think that if it had been longer, it could have felt like it was too much. On the Glee Reddit over the past few weeks, a poll has been going on to decide who the best swap was, and the winner was Diana S. Sugar, which I love because she didn't even have any lines. She was literally just in the background having a great time and doing a great job. Which leads me to wonder if after Quinn being teen pregnant, disowned, cheating on several boyfriends, having tried to steal a baby, going through a life-threatening car accident, Diana was just happy to play a character that the Glee writers didn't have an incomprehensible grudge against, and that's why she was having such a good time as Sugar. I hope you have an amazing week, and I can't wait until your next episode, Danae, she, her.
Danae, thank you so much. You pointing out that, like, the show thinks she's been humbled when it's like, no, 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 we're watching the show. Like, of course, she has not been humbled at all. Thank you for pointing that out. Oh my gosh, I hate this show.
And the fact that she is, like, gonna bully Carmen Thibodeau into letting her in shows that she hasn't.
Seriously.
And I want the show where Rachel Berry goes to a school, goes to like Lima Community College for 2 years and then goes to a bigger school. That would be so much more interesting. Gosh. Also, Danae, I do frequent the Glee Reddit. I pop in every once in a while, and I was invested in that poll, and I was voting, and I was pleased with the result. Diana Agron freaking killed it. The Glee Reddit.
Oh, she killed it.
The Glee Reddit has gone through like a weird poll phase recently where they had a poll that was like, who's the best couple? And they had a poll for who's the best character. And then, and they had like every recurring character on Glee, and then people would just like slowly vote them off one by one. And then they had like, what's the best duet on Glee? And then like, what's the best solo song on Glee? They're up to their eyeballs in polls over there.
I love a good poll. Nothing like exercising our democracy, truly, but in a fun way, you know?
Truly.
Speaking of Reddits, come join our subreddit.
Yes.
r/recoveringglee.
Heck yeah, baby.
Also, go join the Glee subreddit.
Heck yeah.
Danae, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have a message from Sophie.
Hi, Sophie Sheher from Sweden here.
International listener!
Which means I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but I hope the two of you are having a wonderful day. I will, however, say that I'm very thankful for you guys and this podcast getting me through my long and sometimes boring work hours, so thank you very much for that. Now to props. I strongly agree with what you guys said, and I will just add that it bothers me so much that Tina Solo doesn't really happen, since it is in her Thanksgiving-themed dream sequence, which means she doesn't get to sing a single solo this year. Meanwhile, Blaine, who is also a junior, gets solos pretty much all the time. So why is it only Tina that has to take the back seat? The amount of bullshit these writers make up in order to justify giving Rachel so many songs is ridiculous, and I am over it. Thanks again, you guys, for this pod, and happy Thanksgiving, giving you both a Swedish meatball smooch on your foreheads. Insert sound of a meatball. Mamma mia, Sophie.
Wait, she's Swedish.
I know, but I immediately went Italian.
That's so mean.
Here's the sound of a Swedish meatball. Mamma mia. There you go.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
You made that
Thank
work.
You. Thank you.
You had an improv brain on you, buddy. That was good. You made it work. You made it work. Wow, you took something that could have been really offensive to Sophie and then made it a national treasure.
Hey, honestly, ABBA's the best. ABBA's one of the top bands of the last 50 years.
They're incredible for good reason. Oh, my God. Literally, I absolutely forgot that Blaine is a junior. Blaine is a junior. And they're, like, pulling this baloney with Tina. That's what?
It drives me up a wall that they have that scene of, like, the juniors working on the costumes. And Tina is like, don't worry, you guys. We'll get our chance next year. And yet, Blaine, Sam, and Artie, all canonically juniors, are not there. And it's because, although, like, you know, Sam and Artie do kind of get pushed to the side sometimes, those three characters get enough to work with that it's not, like, noticeable.
Yeah.
And then they have...
It doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah, and then they have the four juniors who get, like, a line an episode, if that, and they're like, yeah, don't worry, you'll get your chance next season. Don't worry about the fact that these other three characters have been getting their chance the whole time and are also juniors. Dumb.
I can't even deal.
Mamma mia.
Jeez Louise. Here I go again. My. Well, Sophie, thanks so much. If you see ABBA, tell her we love them. Is that offensive? I hope it's not. I aim to make you smile. I'm sorry. Okay, love you, see you later. Bye. Up next, we have a message from Jen.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks living.
Happy Thanksgiving, baby. Happy Spanksgiving. What?
What? Who said that?
I don't know. My name is Jen, she, her, and I'm from America, but I'm living in the Dominican Republic right now. I love it. Jesus, I'm jealous of it. And beyond that, ever since my folks passed on, I haven't gone back. Oh, man, I got to get on that. So I still get the international listener jingle.
If you want it, Jen, here it is.
International listener.
Anyway, I think you missed out on a great assignment of the week opportunity here. In the spirit of all classic Thanksgiving body salt content, the perfect assignment of the week would be for each of you to pick a song to audition with as the other person to set the scene. Imagine that you're in a Thanksgiving-style Freaky Friday situation where Ian and Lena switch bodies, but oh no, you're both about to audition for your dream role that week. What a crazy coincidence. After a week of trying to swap back, you both decide to do the audition as each other and hope for the best. To clarify, Ian pick a song to audition with in Lena's body, and Lena pick a song to audition with in Ian's body. Wishing you both the best. I can't wait until we get to the train wreck that is season 4. Consensual forehead kisses. Jen. Jen.
Jen, you really set the scene for us. It's a beautiful email.
Yeah, also, a question that is so good, it's stressful.
Yeah, literally.
Because, like, I swear... Lena even said this to me when I hopped on, when I was like, I don't know what to say for Jen's email. I swear, like, 30% of our friendship is me texting Lena, telling her what songs she should sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, of course, all of them left my brain immediately.
Right.
And I really tried to narrow it down to one, and I hate to tell everyone, but I absolutely did not.
You have multiple? Oh, sure.
The thing is, I have caveats. It depends on how realistic we're getting.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm ready to hear them. You should go first because I have a few on my mind. I do have one picked out, but if what you says inspires me, I have a few on my mind. But, oh my gosh, can we just like sidebar really quick? Don't tell the listeners I'm saying this, but the fact that everyone is just like on the train that Thanksgiving is for body swapping and no questions have been fucking asked about it makes me... the most happy I've ever been in my whole life. I'm riding this high for the rest of my life until I die.
I'm obsessed with it. The fact that our weekly poll was what's your favorite Thanksgiving movie and no one commented these aren't Thanksgiving movies.
No, totally.
I'm obsessed with it.
No, seriously. And every single email is like, I love body swapping Thanksgiving style episodes. Oh my gosh. Okay, don't tell the listeners I said that.
Okay, I will cut Jen's it all email. Out. Okay.
All right, Ian, you go first.
So, normally as you mentioned on our episode on Choke, there is kind of an unspoken rule with auditions where you shouldn't do songs by Jason Robert Brown or Stephen Sondheim because the accompaniment is very complicated.
Because they're both musical geniuses and they like to show off.
Exactly. And so the accompaniment is very complicated and it can be hard for the pianist to sight read. So Like, I swear every song that came to my mind immediately was Jason Robert Brown or Stephen Sondheim.
You know what? I literally, so I've been like obviously listening to a lot of Stephen Sondheim recently.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Jason Robert Brown. And I was thinking literally yesterday, I was like, I was put on earth to be a Sondheim woman. And I really do think I was put on earth to be a Jason Robert Brown woman as well. Like, that kind of shit is my jam. Those two composers.
You know that TikTok trend where it's like, this is a man written by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, thinking of this, I was like, Lena is a woman written by Stephen Sondheim.
Thank
Which like, normally being,
God bless you for saying that. Thank you.
Being a woman written by a man is usually like not a compliment.
Yeah.
But Stephen Sondheim knows how to write a complex woman.
He does. Oh my God.
And we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
Anyways. So... if we're going by, like, real-world rules, where it's like, we gotta do something that's chiller and not make the pianist cry or mess up and ruin the audition, I think I had a really hard time narrowing it down, but I think I'm gonna go with She Used to Be Mine from Waitress.
Thank you.
It was also hard because I was like, I will have Lena's vocal ability, but will I have her acting ability? Because that's, like, the question with body swap stuff, you know? Is, like... because I think that you excel so much at, like, emotionally connecting to a song right off the bat and just, like, being incredibly vulnerable immediately. I don't necessarily excel at that. And so it's like, if I'm in your body, but I have your acting abilities, we're doing She Used to Be Mine. If I'm in your body, but, like, it's my talent abilities, we're going for, like, something comedic because I know I can sell that more than I can sell emotionally vulnerable. But we're going to go She Used to Be Mine from Waitress. Honorary mention to Unusual Way from Nine. You should look at that song. I think you would be incredible singing
Nine.
It. I love Nine. Yeah. So honorary mention to that. If Jason Robert Brown and Sondheim are on the table.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
This is my dream come true. Thank you.
I also was limiting it to characters that you would play now. Because I think that, you know, you have a very rich career in your future, but I'm not going to have you sing a song that was written for a 40-year-old woman at 25.
God bless you.
So I think you were put on this earth to play Kathy in the last 5 years.
Thank you.
I didn't want to say I can do better than that because you have audition trauma with that song.
Honestly, I'd love to conquer it, but honestly, thank you.
I can do better than that then. I put Still Hurting, but I can do better than that. And then if we're going Sondheim... Not a Day Goes By from Merrily Roll On.
Yeah.
Or, you guys, I am saying six songs. I Remember Sky from Evening Primrose. Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't.
Listen to that song.
Okay.
That show, I have never seen. It is one of his least famous because it's not great. But that song is like so hauntingly beautiful and heartbreaking. It's incredible. You should listen to it.
I will. Thank you.
So there's your six songs that you're singing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I will put those all in my book when it's appropriate to do Jason Robert Brown and Stephen Sondheim. Okay, for you, my buddy. I think you have one of the most incredible voices on the planet. And it like has this like very like particular timbre to it that you just cannot recreate. So I would like... milk the shit out of it. My very first thought, I love you. My very first thought was, I love to sing What Is It About Her? And I've told you should sing that song a million times. So I would immediately, that's the first song I would sing. I'd be like, give me a piano. Give me an audition. I'm getting a job right now. Because I think you'd sound amazing at that song. And I love to sing that song. Gosh. And then my other thought was, have you ever listened to The Pirate Queen before?
I have not.
It's pretty fun. But the guy in it, I don't know much about it. I've just listened to some of it. There's a song called I'll Be There in there that the guy sings. And the last minute of it, it's like classic, like rock musical, very like, Scarlet Pimpernel vibes. If you catch my drift, like what's that composer?
Frank Wildhorn.
Just kidding. But like very that vibes. So like perfect for that kind of stuff. The last minute of it is a perfect audition song for you. You got to check it out. It's very good. It's very like, even like Radames in Aida style, like mm-hmm. rock, like this girl, she won't give me the time of day, but I'm going to be there for her because I'm a man, but she's so independent. And like, I just think you'd rock that shit. Literally, gosh, now I want to pick a Sondheim song for you. Oh my gosh. Listen. My gosh. You got to be Bobby and Company. Like, it hurts my heart. You need to be. I think, like, I was put on earth to be every Sondheim woman. You were put on earth to be Bobby.
That you know is what such I mean? A compliment.
Like, I want to hear you sing all these songs.
I saw Company last week in New York, which, like, whoa, the timing of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was Katrina Lenk, so Bobby was a woman. But just mm-hmm. like all of Bobby's songs speak to me on such a personal level, it is upsetting.
Honestly, like you got issues, and I feel like your trauma would be healed by being Bobby in Company. Is that too much to say on this podcast? It's not funny.
That like the plight of having commitment issues and being so afraid of making decisions that mm-hmm. you don't make a decision ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has never been, and like wanting something but being too afraid to make the necessary choices to have something
yes
has never been so expertly expressed than in the lyrics to Bobby's songs and Company. Mm-hmm.
like
Marry Me a Little and Being Alive
alone is alone, not alive. Like, oh my gosh,
they're incredible.
So, yeah, I just think you should be in that show first of all, but you should, if it were appropriate to put Being Alive in an audition book, I would sing that in a second. Oh, my gosh. And then, have you ever heard the song September of 92?
No.
It's not from a musical. It's just like a musical theater composer who wrote it by Zach Resnick. He just does like a bunch of, or Zach Resnick writes a bunch of stuff, but like he's put out a couple of like musical theater type songs, like in albums mm-hmm. that are like not song cycles, but they just like tell a story. And that song, oh my gosh, you would kill the shit out of that song. So that's what.
Speaking of songs like that, because everything I gave you was like very dramatic and grounded mm-hmm. because you can do that so well and it's heartbreaking. You also are very, very funny. Speaking of songs that are like a standalone pieces, Joe Iconis has a song called Headshot. Have you ever heard it?
Uh-uh.
It is so, so, so funny, and I think you would kill it.
I'll download check it right that now. Out. I will. Gosh, who needs agents?
For real, we should just do this every week.
I know, honestly, I'm like inspired and stuff. I'm like, wow, I got to put this shit on tape. And it's like, why aren't we talking to each other about this more? What the heck? Well, heck, I really think we're going to book these body swap jobs.
I do too. The question is now... So are we walking into the audition with me being like, I know I look like Lena Knazza, but I'm actually Ian Allred? Or am I now accepting that I am going to play Lena's dream role and she's going to play mine?
Well, I think the hope is that we switch before we get to play it, but we have to do the auditions.
Oh. Hear me out, though. A lot of my dream roles are women. So, if we don't switch back, it's okay. Like, no, totally. I'll take it.
No, totally. That's the thing is, I want to be Kathy so bad, but I remember there was a time when there was an option, like this did not happen, you guys, that like there was talks of like a girl being able to play Jamie in a production that was near me, and I was like, it's mine. I'm taking it. You cannot have it. Literally, I was like, give it to me now. But oh my gosh. Wow. But I think we get the auditions, and that's probably the thing that switches us back, is we like get callbacks, and then it's like, I'm back. Okay. Or no, you can do the callback too.
Yeah. And then once we get cast, the cast list comes up, and that's when we switch back.
That's when we switch back. Yeah. It's like the fortune cookie. It's like stabbing you in the chest. It's, you know, classic Thanksgiving.
And it's a whole thing where like we're both really down on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us are like, You just have it so easy, like you're so naturally talented, everything comes so easy for you. You don't know how hard it is for me in auditions.
Uh-huh.
And then we like swap and learn that like it's also really hard for the other person, and then we respect each other's process and then we switch back.
Do we have a resentment? resentment towards each other for it being easier for the other one?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't. I was like, where is this coming from? But no, we will respect each other's processes. Well, in this story that Jen said, we probably got in a fight where I was like, blah, 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 it's easier for you. And you were like, no, what are you talking about? It's easier for you. And then we switched bodies because
And then we learned the universe is trying to teach us a lesson. Ways.
The turkey in the sky is trying to teach us a lesson.
Exactly. That big old turkey in the sky.
He went gobble, gobble, and we switched. Jen, thank you so much for this message. We obviously had heaps of fun. I really hope it was fun to listen to because it was fun to experience. Okay, love you. Bye. Up next, we have a message from Olwyn. Olwyn?
I believe it is Olwyn.
God bless you. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to spell. I don't know how to say your name. But I did my best. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Should we cut all that?
No, I think it's probably fine.
Okay.
Olwyn says, hey, Lean and Ian. I don't know if you caught this, but Lea Michele played Tina very weirdly in props. This might just be me, but I feel like she played Tina as really bored and sort of monotone, if that makes sense. Tina as a character never struck me as this bored. Yes, she has been very shy in the past, but shy doesn't equate to fatigued. I feel that it would be more accurate if she played Tina as at least a little bit more eccentric and energetic, because Tina isn't always depressing or monotonous. Honestly, the writers don't even give her enough material to make her depressing. But the way Lea plays her just feels sad and exhausted. Also, why the hell would they make her have the season one hair? That was 2 seasons ago. That part just pisses me off. Anyway, the way Lea played Tina, from the monotonous bored aura to the sudden supportiveness of Rachel within and out of the switching, was not what I wanted from the body switch. Personally, I believe this deserves the Tina They Did You So Wrong jingle.
Tina, they did you so wrong, Tina, Cohen Chang.
Anyway, sorry for how long this is. I'm just passionate. Olwyn, they, them.
Olwyn, thank you so much. I completely agree. And I mentioned this a little bit before, but I just need to reiterate it. And you said it the best, Olwyn, much better than I could. Like, it is like, nobody knows who Tina is, not even these writers. And it's like, we see Tina in the background and she's not like that lethargic all the time. She doesn't roll her eyes at people like that. Like, she's quiet because they don't give her stuff. But I would never say that she is like, you know, that depressed. Like, certainly she cries a lot, but like, I don't know. I think they just like did her such a disservice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I stand by what I said, that I like the season one costumes as a personal choice, but I agree. The portrayal of Tina is just kind of like, okay, generic, like, girl who doesn't like to be looked at. Great.
Yeah. And it's like, certainly she is, I would say that Tina is shy, but I don't know that they captured any of her essence.
Yeah.
And like I said before, I think it's because Lea Michele doesn't give a shit about anybody else on the show. I said what I said. She's not paying attention.
And I think the writers don't really care about Tina. So it's kind of like no one was willing, because it also was directed by one of the writers.
Yeah.
Like, no one was really willing to like nail it down, you know?
Yeah. Which sucks so bad because the caricatures of the other characters I like. And I like when, you know, Joe like does a body roll, you know? But it's also like, I don't know, have Lea Michele like cry in the background or something. This just feels out of left field. Like, it doesn't feel anything like the character.
Yeah.
Even if they're going far with something.
It is also hard because the other ones can be caricatures because they carry no plot weight.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
you're so right.
They need like Rachel as Tina to like go on this whole journey so that like Tina can learn from it. But then it is hard because like you can't just make her over emotional because then she can't really like carry the plot. But I don't know. They still could have found something more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. Olwyn, thank you so much for this message. You said it all much better than I could, and I really appreciate you doing that.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Last but certainly not least, we have a message from Calorgio.
Hey, Lena. Hey, Ian. It is Calorgio here from Michigan. It's Friday, November 26th, and news has just broke that Stephen Sondheim has died. And I'm not okay, you know, random 20-something just like y'all are, and I can only assume you guys aren't okay. And I'm just glad that you guys have created this safe space where I'm able to allow these feelings to just be here, because I know you might have these feelings as well, and we're not alone. And thank you. I hope you guys are great, and I just want to know what your guys' favorite Sondheim songs or musicals or roles are, and, you know, let's just talk about the guy, because he's pretty great, right? Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Kisses. Bye.
So, for anyone who did not know, Stephen Sondheim, who is genuinely, this is not an exaggeration, the most influential musical theater composer of the last 50 years, passed away on Friday, which is a huge deal. Like, he wrote, I counted yesterday, he wrote 20 different musicals that were professionally produced, many of which are like some of the most famous musicals of all time. Like, he did lyrics for Gypsy, he did lyrics for West Side Story, he composed and did lyrics for Into the Woods, he composed and did lyrics for this, the rest of them start to get more like theater people specific, but for like Company and Follies and Sunday in the Park with George and Sweeney Todd and like so many incredible shows. Even just on Glee, someone did a supercut of how many songs they did on Glee, like every song they sang on Glee that was written by Stephen Sondheim. Actually, it was friend of the podcast, Lauren. It's on the subreddit. Go check it out, r/recoveringgleek. But I didn't count, but it is like well over 15 different performances on this show were written by Stephen Sondheim. Yeah. Like, his fingerprint on musical theater can be found everywhere. He completely changed the entire genre of musical theater. He also mentored people like Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent, and Jason Robert Brown, who wrote like Last 5 Years, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton and In the Heights. Like, he genuinely is the Shakespeare of musical theater. Absolutely. And it is such an enormous loss. He was 91, so he did live a very long life, but it is still, when someone is that influential and that much of a genius, it does not really matter how long they live. No matter when they go, it will still be too soon. It will still be a loss.
Absolutely. I was watching an interview yesterday, and he was like actively working on a musical. Like,
I know.
Like, they're trying to put it on next season, and it's like he's, oh my gosh. Well into his 90s, he's like writing and still like has more to say, and it's
the tweet that like the two tweets that I saw about it that like really spoke to me. One was Lin-Manuel Miranda, because, you know, like I said, he mentored Lin, they like had a close relationship. Lin just says to any future historians, yes, Stephen Sondheim was real. Yes, he did legitimately give voice to Mama Rose and Tony and Maria and George Surratt and the witch and like all these characters. Yes, they did all come from this one man. Like, I know that some people want to argue that maybe all of Shakespeare's works didn't actually come from Shakespeare, but I'm here to tell you that Stephen Sondheim was real and they all did come from him.
Yeah.
And the other one, it was just some random person, but they said, it speaks so much to what he gave us that we are all turning to his own words to process the grief that we're going through.
Oh my God, I know. Like, I was listening to Sunday in the Park with George yesterday, and in We Do Not Belong Together, like, I have nothing to say. Like, just that. I, like, heard that, and I, like, lost it. I was like, and then, oh my gosh. So we, like, there's no way we can do even a theater-adjacent podcast without talking about Stephen Sondheim. And as Glee fans, we know what it's like to, like, lose an influential person in our lives. And I think it's something to, like, definitely talk about and mourn and, You know, I hope that if people are feeling sad about it, I hope no one makes you feel bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we receive messages about how people took Cory Monteith's passing and Naya Rivera's passing like really to heart and are like embarrassed about that. And I think that's nothing to be embarrassed about. And in the case of Stephen Sondheim, I remember I walked into the kitchen to tell my mom about it. And she barely knows the musical theater, but she knew how much he meant to me. Like the first true musical I really loved ever was Sweeney Todd, the movie with Johnny Depp, which is so silly. But like, I saw that movie and I really connected with the music and I listened to the original cast recording and then I listened to more. And then on Netflix, the Into the Woods musical was uploaded and mm-hmm. I just watched that like every day when I was young. Like I would not be doing theater. I would not be here. I would not be doing this podcast at all. We would not be sitting here if not for Stephen Sondheim. And that is huge. And this is a stupid Glee podcast. This has mostly nothing to do with Stephen Sondheim. But I wouldn't be me without Stephen Sondheim, which is wild. But his works were so influential to not just me, to like everybody, you know? Like, mm-hmm. even if you don't think they were, you know?
On like our like third or fourth minisode, like really, really early on, mm-hmm. someone asked us what our theater core memories were. And I said that mine was when I saw Into the Woods for the first time. Mm-hmm. That I like Into the Woods is my favorite musical ever written. And truly seeing that for the first time, it was the one that used to be on Netflix. It was that production. Seeing that for the first time, I was like 10 years old. It like stuck with me and changed my whole perspective
yeah.
on like life and on what theater could be and what theater could say and what theater could do and what theater could make you feel. Because up to that point, my experience with theater was like, I'd seen like Golden Age movies, you know,
yeah.
and I'd seen like Beauty and the Beast. And hear me out, Beauty and the Beast is beautiful and Golden Age musicals are incredible.
Yeah.
But like, I had never seen something like Into the Woods that says so, so much about life. And genuinely, like 15 years later, I go back and watch it and I notice something different every mm-hmm. time. And I notice a different lyric and I notice a different message and I notice a different moral. And the way that he was able to craft all of that in a story about fairy tale characters
yeah, honestly,
is so insane.
Like, Into the Woods is so beautiful and amazing. Because who is the villain in that story, you know?
Exactly.
Like, no one. Everyone is on their own journey in that musical. And the way that it's all set up, like, everyone has, like, is learning different things. The smallest characters are on their exact own journey. And someone else is the villain to them. And it doesn't, like, it, like, has so much to say about everything. About, like, life mm-hmm. and children and art. And, like, the influence you have on people that you'll never know. And, like, how, oh, my gosh. How did he do that?
It's crazy. And the thing is, like, I feel like so many writers, they have, like, their magnum opus, like, mm-hmm. their masterwork.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And then, like, you read their other stuff, and you're like, oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could argue that Sunday in the Park with George is his masterwork. You could argue that Sweeney Todd is his masterwork. You could argue that Follies is his masterwork.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen Sondheim has like 5 or 6 shows that are like the most incredible things ever written.
I know.
And then the other 14 are also amazing. Like, it's insane.
Absolutely. Like, even the ones I don't really like that much. Like, I talk a big game about not loving Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. But even that one is like, there's so much to learn from that musical. And mm-hmm. like, it says so much about life and like what we owe to each other. And it's like, I don't even like that one. And I still have something to learn from it, you know? And it's still an amazing, beautiful work of art that he wrote when he was like, I don't know, 22.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Also, my nephew is fully crying. And because this is my laptop, I think it might be picking it up. So if you hear baby crying, that's what's happening.
Honestly, it seems fitting.
It does. Lena, what are some Sondheim faves for you?
I am obsessed with Dot in Sunday in the Park with George. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I heard Sunday in the Park with George. It's a very abrasive musical to just listen to. And then you like see George Surratt. Is that his name? Is George painting?
Yes. Yeah.
And you see it and you see the way it looks. And then you listen to the musical and you're like, oh my God, this musical sounds like this painting. Like it's pointillism. The whole musical is pointillism, you know, and it's like, it sounds like the painting looks. So like seeing that like was a real change for me. And just the idea of like that musical has so much to say about art and like making something and leaving an impact, but also like the plights of loving someone who makes art and just mm-hmm. wanting to be a person. And the way that Stephen Sondheim can like absolutely capture someone who is plagued by their ambition and who wants to make a mark so bad. And then someone who just like, is like gets dragged along, but also wants her own life. Like Dot in Sunday in the Park with George, I think is one of the most beautiful characters of all time. And I was just listening to that musical yesterday. And I was just sobbing. And again, Into the Woods is absolutely the most incredible thing on the planet. I can't even, I can't even deal. And then I was listening to Sweeney Todd and how are those three musicals by the same man? Like how? Like the vastness of it all. And oh my God. And I was listening to Follies as well. And oh my God, the in Buddy's Eyes, like you talk all the time mm-hmm. about how much you love songs that like sound happy, but actually are very sad. And I feel mm-hmm. like that song is just like that, where like everything that she's talking about is like so, so happy. It's like, oh my God, I found this person who just loves me for me. And this undertone in it that you can tell and you can hear in the music. And like every once in a while, she like lets you into that, or it's like the sadness that lies underneath, like achieving what you always wanted is like, how the hell, you know, I can't, it's a tremendous, tremendous loss, but like those words live on forever and that music lives on forever, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, Into the Woods, like, as I said, changed my life. Genuinely, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be an actor if it wasn't for Into the Woods. And there, I could take like any lyric in that show, but the ones that have spoken to me the most are the witch's line in Last Midnight, the "You're so nice, mm-hmm. you're not good, you're not bad, you're just nice." And then Little Red's line about nice is different than good. Mm-hmm. Just that message of like, people, I mean, in Little Red's case, it is someone who is nice mm-hmm. to you because they want something.
Mm-hmm.
And just because someone is being nice to you doesn't mean they're a good person. They might have ulterior motives. But in the witch's situation, it is someone who just doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And they don't care about the end result. They just don't want to look bad. And so, like, in the case with Into the Woods, it's like, oh, there's a giant and he wants to kill us. So the giant says he'll leave us alone if we give this little boy up. Let's give the little boy up. And mm-hmm. everyone else is like, no, we can't do that. That's bad. And the witch is like, okay, well, what are your options?
Like, yeah, totally.
And they refuse to say anything. And it's yeah. like, cool. Well, you just care about being nice and doing the nice thing. You don't actually care about saving the rest of the town. Mm-hmm. Those two lyrics have stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
But the Sondheim song that, like, is my favorite song he has ever written, has, like, taught me so much about life, has, like, pushed me to do things in my life and make, like, move forward and do hard things, is Move On from Sunday in the Park.
Yeah.
Move On, like, mm-hmm. I Might Start Crying is both as a person and then also as, like, a person who hopes to create art is so personal and, like, encapsulates everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the fears you have when creating media and the fears you have about moving forward in life and, like, having regrets and not doing things. Just some of the lyrics. Oh my gosh. The lyrics, stop worrying where you're going, move on.
Mm-hmm.
If you can know where you're going, you've gone. Just keep moving on. I chose and my world was shaken. So what? The choice may have been mistaken. The choosing was not. Mm-hmm. You have to move on. I go back to that line literally every time I have a big decision and I get really nervous about it. And I think like, well, if I make this choice, then I could be losing all this. But if I make the other choice, then I'm losing all this. I literally think of Dot saying, I chose, my world was shaken. So what? The choice may have been mistaken. The choosing was not. Like, yeah, you could make the wrong choice, but at least you made a choice. Like, you're not going to know where your path leads. You just have to keep moving on and keep moving on. And if you make a mistake, great, move on from that mistake. Like, just letting yourself be paralyzed by that fear is going to be worse than making the wrong decision.
Yep.
And then as, you know, someone who, like, wants to create content and put it out into the world, that one is more like just life in general.
Yeah.
These ones are a little more, like, artist. I hate saying artist in reference to myself, but like, you know, like an art centric thing. Yeah. The lyric, stop worrying if your vision is new, let others make that decision they usually do. And this one is the lyric in this show and my favorite Sondheim lyric of all time. Anything you do, let it come from you. Then it will be new. Give us more to see. Like, the concept that, like, you spend your life looking at other people and being like, I'm never going to be as talented as that person. Like, that person is so experienced and they have such an interesting perspective on life. Or, like, I'm never going to be as smart as that person. Or, like, whatever it is. Like, I'm never going to be, like, I don't know, as attractive as that person or like anything. And you spend so much time getting hung up on that of like, I'm never going to do any what they can do as well as they can do. So what's the point? And just the thought of anything you do, let it come from you. Then it will be new. Like maybe you aren't as smart as that person is, but you can do something else that they cannot do. Maybe you're not as talented in this way, but you have your own talents that you're bringing to the table. And the final line of that song, give us more to see, is such a beautiful message that like every person brings to the world more for other people to see.
Yes.
Like every person has their own perspective that is unlike anyone else's. And by sharing that perspective, they are giving everyone else in the room more to see in life.
Yep.
And like the world is enhanced and enriched by what you are offering and by what you are giving to everyone else. And as long as you keep it true to who you are, that is more to see. That is more than what they had before and they are better for it.
Yep.
And like, I don't know how someone can say that in like 2 sentences.
Yeah.
Like, how did he capture all of that in freaking 4 lines that equate to 2 sentences?
Yeah.
It is craziness to me. And like, that's just like my favorite stuff for life in general. But like, Company and Follies say so much about romantic relationships and are
totally
so heartbreaking. And like, Merrily We Roll Along says so much about friendship and relationships and career and like the balance that you have to find between them and what you give up if you're like focusing too much on one or the other. Like I could go on and on. Another song I come back to all the time is Send in the Clowns from A Little Night Music.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, just the mindset behind that song that is like, I cannot believe that I spent my whole life looking for something only to realize it was in front of me this whole time, but I waited too long and now it's gone. That is so awful. Like, send in the clowns. Like, this is such a tragedy, it's almost funny.
Yeah.
So like, send in the clowns, we might as well laugh about this. I literally had what I wanted the whole time and didn't realize until it was gone. Like, that man has a way with words and perspectives and feelings that is unearthly.
Yeah.
It is insane how much he can encapsulate the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Oh my gosh.
And I think what like is the most amazing thing, and the thing that I take from like every Sondheim musical is truly the idea that like everyone has an impact. Like Into the Woods is like all about all of these people on their own separate journeys who happen to run into like a few main problems. You know what I mean? It's like that doesn't mean that they're all not on their same journey, but they also all affect each other. Like No One Is Alone is not just about like companionship. It's also like children will listen. Like you need to like the things you do leave an impact on people. You are with that you are with the people that you're with far longer than you're actually physically with them. The things you do have an impact. The things you say, like your presence in their life. And I think you see that in also Sunday in the Park with George and Merrily and also Company, that like Bobby is so affected by these people in his life that like he wants to emulate them. And like, and I think that all comes from Stephen Sondheim's compassion and like just love for the human race. And like everything that he writes is written with such love and respect and compassion. And oh my God, like, and it makes me want to be a better person. You know what I mean? Like it makes me want to like see the world in a kinder way sometimes too, where it's like, I don't know what other people are going through. And I see that. I see that in, I don't know. You know what I mean? Should we start a Stephen Sondheim podcast? I don't want to talk about me anymore.
Just like exactly what you're saying. You can see his compassion so clearly in how most of his shows don't even have a villain.
Yeah.
Like you could take his shows and you could see every single character's perspective and get behind any of their attitudes.
Yes.
And something I love, Into the Woods, I think, like you said, does it the best, where like the witch seems like she should be the villain, but you totally understand the witch's point of view. But in No One Is Alone, that is, you know, a big comfort song for a lot of people that has a lot of the messages that you were talking about like, you don't know the effect you have on other people. And like, there are always going to be people in the world who like agree with you and are caring about you and whatever. But then it also has the lyric about essentially people are going to think differently than you and they are not alone.
Yes.
That it shows like how clear of a vision he had, that he was like, it's not that people are going to care about you and be with you because you are objectively right. Yeah. It's just like, yes, take comfort in the fact that there are like-minded people out there, but know that everyone has like perspectives that are shared by a lot of people that are like-minded. They are not alone, and we essentially need to like understand each other and come together instead of just trying to divide each other.
Yeah. God. I don't know that I have any more to, I mean, I, when you said earlier, like, I keep going back to his own words. Like just hearing the news yesterday, one of my first thoughts was the song Something Just Broke. The song about, people hearing that JFK had been shot. And it's like, you know exactly where you were. You remember everything about it. And it's like, life kind of has to move on, but it's also like life can't be the same. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about Stephen Sondheim passing away, you know, or it's like, I'm going to remember this forever, but it's also like his work will stay with me forever. And the impact that he had on the world has changed the world and will continue to change the world. The more people, you know, discover his works and, you know, come with their own perspectives, you know, and share their perspectives. And that's, I think, the beauty of art and especially theater, you know.
Also, I just want to shout out too, we talked a lot about Stephen Sondheim's like profound understanding of the human experience and just like how it can like speak to your soul on such a deep level.
Mm-hmm.
He also was so incredibly funny.
Oh,
like, that's
my gosh.
What's amazing is it's not like, and he did like the big time sad musicals where like you think a lot and then you cry. It's like, no, also you will laugh your butt off. Like,
no,
he
totally.
Is hysterical. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. He was so incredibly talented.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
If you haven't listened to Stephen Sondheim's stuff or seen a Stephen Sondheim musical, I implore you to give it a listen. Your heart will be changed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a better person. I'm the person I am today because of his works. And I'm glad that we could take this time to, you know, think about him for a minute. And Clorgio, thank you so much for bringing this up. And also your beautiful message. I'm really glad that people feel like that this can be a safe space for them to express themselves, especially for like Stephen Sondheim, who like, obviously this is like a theater adjacent podcast because it's Ian and I hosting it and this is all we damn talk about. But I really appreciate that we have this group, this little internet fam who can, you know, do this. And I really appreciate you bringing it up, Clorgio.
Also, yeah. Go watch Friend of the Podcast Lauren's video on Reddit. Frankly, I on Friday when I heard the news was trying to just count in my head how many Stephen Sondheim songs were on Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, there were like 10. That's a lot. And then I watched her video and I had forgotten half of them.
Yeah.
Like, so even if you're not familiar with his work, you're familiar with his work.
Yeah.
Like, you will be surprised how many, because even like it went to freaking Pretty on Pretty.
I know.
And I
know.
Like,
I saw
oh
that.
My
I
gosh.
Said, yeah.
The half that song was written by Stephen Sondheim.
I know.
Like,
it's like,
crazy.
It's one of my favorite songs on Glee, and it wouldn't exist without Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah. It is crazy how much he touched the entire like theater and music industry. It's bonkers.
Absolutely.
Oy. Well, Colorgio, thank you for that message. Everyone, go watch Into the Woods. But I mean, like, watch the movie if you want to.
Sure.
But if you have only seen the movie, I implore you, go on YouTube. Watch the pro shot of the original Broadway cast.
Yeah.
It is on YouTube. It is good quality.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
There's also a pro shot of that I used to pretend I was sick in high school and stay home to watch. It was also on Netflix for a while, of the Rallis Bars version of Company, which a lot of people have said that's not their cup of tea. And I'm like, you guys don't get Company, because this song is this production of Company gets it so hard. It's my favorite version of Company for sure that I've seen. I obviously haven't seen it on the Broadway. You saw it on the Broadway.
I did see it on the Brood Woo, and it was amazing, incredible. I'm obsessed with it.
Good.
Oh my gosh. Also, there's a pro shot of the original Broadway cast of Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
On the YouTube.
Oh.
And there is a live in concert version of Sweeney Todd with Emma Thompson as Mrs. Lovett and Andrew McDonald.
Oh, that one is so
as
good.
As the beggar woman.
Uh-huh.
Also on YouTube for free.
Uh-huh. And then there is a pro shot. I don't know if it's free, but it definitely exists somewhere, of Merrily We Roll Along. It's the London cast. It's from, like, I think, like, 2010, maybe 2012, something along those lines.
Is that the one where Beth has a Texan accent and she's trying for her life?
Yeah, she's trying. She's, like, a cute redhead. She's like, I'm Beth.
Yeah. Yes.
She's cute. Is there any other pro shots that I love? Ooh, there's lots of clips of Whoopi Goldberg in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum that I really love.
Honestly, that sounds fun.
I know. And so Pseudolus is usually like a guy's part. And then Whoopi Goldberg and Stephen Sondheim was like all up in this. He was like, yeah, give the part to Whoopi. And I was like, yes.
There's a pro shot
Carmen
of
Thibodeau.
Gypsy. True. Mm-hmm. There's a pro shot of Gypsy, but it's on Proud of HD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned it before. I think you can find it online.
The Emily Stone one? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not on YouTube. So.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, because you and I watched it, and it wasn't on Broadway HD.
Yeah, and it was the first time I had ever seen it, and I was changed. I was freaking 25 at the time, and I became a different person after I saw that. You know what I mean? Like, his works continue to, and that was the first time I saw it, but, like, I see, you know, different productions of Company, and I see different productions of Merrily, and I find something new, and I'm changed, just like what you said about Into the Woods earlier.
I think I also just stumbled upon a pro shot of A Little Night Music. So I guess that's on YouTube, everyone.
Perfect.
Great. There you go. There's what, like 4 or 5 Sondheim shows that you could watch for free, and it's good camera quality.
Yeah, honestly. And the pro shots are the way to go, you know? Yeah.
Gosh. All right.
I think if we go on any longer, you know, we're not doing he'll say it better than we can ever say it, but I'm glad that we could take this time to remember him and celebrate some of his works. Do you guys have Stephen Sondheim memories you want to share with us? I would love to see, I would love to read them. I'd love to listen to them. You should send them to us. Well, if you have thoughts about, you want to share with us about life, about Stephen Sondheim, or about the episode that's coming out this week, Nationals, you can send them to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can email them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Ayo, and now we're about to relative pitch it up.
I know. The Improps. Only way to end this episode.
Improps. We got I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz. We got Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion. We got Mean by Taylor Swift. We got Flashdance, What a Feeling by Irene Cara. You're going first this week. I'm not going to give you Mean because it is frankly too easy. So that's off the table.
But also, it's certainly not in the Taylor Swift key.
Oh, that's true. So it actually would be like kind of a trick question.
Yeah.
Do I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz.
All right. When I look into your eyes. No, hold on. I think I'm going to. It's like watching the night. No, I'm just going to go. No. Wait. Oh my gosh. Have you heard that TikTok sound that's like, oh, wait.
Oh. I don't think so.
Oh, man, I felt like I was having those vibes, so I'm sad that you didn't get it. I'm going to do, because even the star. No, because even the skies get rough. I've given you all my love. Oh, wait. Sorry. Go back. Okay. Okay. Because even the stars, they burn. Some even fall to the earth. We've got a lot to learn. God knows we're worth it. I won't give up. Wow. That was a journey and a half.
But you did it.
I really thought I would just like kind of find it, but it just kind of didn't. So we'll see what it was.
Let's find out. So you did even the something, I don't know the words, is C to B flat to A flat. You were a half step flat.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm on a losing streak recently. Did I win? Well, did I get it last week?
We did body swap.
Maybe.
Did you win last week?
Honestly, I never remember. There is a chart we should just have. Just open.
I know. I just keep
every
forgetting
week I'm like,
to look before we
keep
start.
It open. I know, me too. And then it just happens and we're like, oh, sure, it's relative pitch already. How is it this day? life passes you by. Mm-hmm. All right. I want you to sing Mean.
Okay. You, with your words like knives and your swords and weapons that you use against me, you have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like nothing, you. With your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded, you. Picking on the weaker man. Okay, so I think that the you is an A flat.
Hell yeah, boy. Can I do my impression of Tuck? You, with your words like knives and swords. It's very pop punk style, almost. Like they like gave
it
him
is.
They gave him that note. And I was like, all right, okay, cool.
Whatever. Like, what's up with that? Also, I am fully 2 steps flat. Mm. It is in C. You. What is Taylor's? Is that Taylor's key?
You.
Am I just completely
you,
off?
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, you have knocked me out.
That's an E. So I'm a step, two steps off in either direction. I'm two steps flat for Puck, two steps sharp for Taylor. So frankly, I think I was right because I was right in the middle.
Yeah, you're right in the middle. See, that's the thing, is you just kind of evened out. You made your own thing.
Yeah, fun.
I love that for you.
Well, I'm two steps off, everyone.
Yeah.
There it is.
Well, you guys, that's your mini-sode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that... You got to celebrate Stephen Sondheim with us, and his memory brings a blessing to all of us, and I love that. And I love Glee, I love Stephen Sondheim, I love theater, I love you guys. I'm really happy that my life is where it is, and you know what? Half that's because of Stephen Sondheim. And you know what? Hugs to all of you, love to you all. God, I could go on and on. I just thank you guys the show. See you later. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.